Hello and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Saturday, January the 28th in the year of our Lord 2023. Collect of the day for Thomas Aquinas, Dominican friar and teacher of the faith, 1274. Almighty God, you gave your servant Thomas Aquinas special gifts of grace to understand and teach the truth revealed in Christ Jesus. Grant that by this teaching we may know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom you have sent, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so busy week at work kept me from recording. My apologies. I'm going to line up a couple for this week if I have enough time this morning. So we'll see how it goes. I'm drinking a Guatemala blend from Aldi, which is really good, actually. Great coffee this morning. So, running right into the catechism. Question 192, which is the last in the subsection about daily bread. We move into the fourth petition after this. So, question 192. Why does God give you daily bread? Why? Answer: God gives me daily bread because he is a good and loving father who gives good things to all his children, sustains us in life, and desires that we grow daily in his grace. Question: why does God give you daily bread? God gives me daily bread because he is a good and loving father. So like any good and loving father, he gives us good things to his children, sustains us in life, and desires that we grow daily in his grace. Okay, scriptural references. Psalm 103:13-14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Next is Psalm 104:27-30. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed, and you take away their breath. They die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Then Isaiah 40, verse 11, and then verses 29-31. Verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. 29-31, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 7. Verses 9-11. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And the next is from, no, that was the final scriptural reference. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So question, 192. Why does God give you daily bread? Why? Well, because he's God. I mean, I think that's the short answer, right? Because he's a good and loving father. Right? And I think we tend to, as children of his, we should be looking for good gifts from our father. Now, yes, sometimes there's discipline, because any good father will discipline his children, but those are always to our good. They're always to drive us to that which is good. why you discipline a child is to drive out evil things from the child, to drive out laziness, to drive out other evil inclinations of their heart, each child having their own particular inclinations, sort of predispositions, besetting sins is another phrase. But in this particular context, we're talking about daily bread, right? This idea of God sustaining us. And of course, the ultimate daily bread is his grace, right? The feeding of his Spirit upon us. Who gives good things to all his children, sustains us in life, and desires, truly wants that we grow daily in his grace. So I'm going to turn to Augustine of Hippo on his thoughts on Psalm 103, a father who shows compassion to his children. So Augustine, for he knoweth our forming, verse 14, that is our infirmity. He knoweth that he hath created. He knoweth what he hath created, how it hath fallen, how it may be repaired, how it may be adopted, how it may be enriched. Behold, we are made of clay. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He sent even his own Son, him who was made the second man, him who was God before all things. For he was second in his coming, first in his returning. He died after many, he arose before all. He knoweth our forming. What forming? Ourselves. Why sayest thou that he knoweth? Because he hath pitied. Remember that we are but dust. Addressing God himself, he saith, remember, as if God could forget, he perceiveth, he knoweth, in such a manner that he cannot forget. But what meaneth remember? Let thy mercy continue toward us. Thou knowest our forming, forget not our forming, lest we forget thy grace. Here ends the reading. Of course, absolutely love the ending of that. Fits perfectly in with the and with the question and answer, go grow daily in grace, and here's lest we forget that grace, all bringing it back to the grace of God, remembering that we are but dust, remembering how tiny we are in comparison, but that we have a good and gracious Father. And John Chrysostom, of course. This is a little longer, but I think also really, I know it does a really good job. So Matthew 7, that famous sort of rhetorical question. Or which one of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? So John Chrysostom, because as among men, if you keep on doing so, you are even accounted troublesome and disgusting. So with God, when you do not do so, then thou dost more entirely provoke him. Of course, he's referring here to the earlier part. I'm actually going to pull that up. I'm going to pull up the whole verse that comes out of. So the scriptural reference for the catechism is 9 to 11, but it starts, so the interrogative starts, of course, much earlier. But if you just back up to 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? So that's the opening. That's the script, full scriptural reference, which gives the opening for Chrysostom. So here, I'll start over with John Chrysostom. Because as among men, if you keep doing so, you are even accounted troublesome and disgusting. So with God, when you do not do so, when you do not so, then thou dost more entirely provoke him. And if you continue asking, though thou receive not at once, thou surely wilt receive. For to this end was the door shut, that he may induce you to knock. To this end, he does not straightway assent that you may ask. Continue then to do these things, and you will surely receive. For that you might not say, what then if I should ask and not receive? He has blocked up your approach with that similitude, again framing arguments, and by those human things urging us to be confident on these matters, implying by them that we must not only ask, but that we ought, but ask what we ought. For which of you is there a father of whom, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? So that if you receive not, your asking a stone is the cause of your not receiving. For though thou be a son, this suffices not for your receiving. Rather than the very thing even hinders your receiving, that being a son, you ask what is not profitable. Do also therefore ask nothing worldly, but all things spiritual, and you will surely receive. For so Solomon, because he asked what he ought, behold how quickly he received. Two things now, you see, should be in him that prays, asking earnestly and asking what he ought. Since you too, says he, though ye be fathers, wait for your sons to ask, and if they should ask of you anything inexpedient, you refuse the gifts. Just as, if it be expedient, you consent and bestow it. Do thou too, considering these things, not withdraw until thou receive, until thou have found, and retire not. Relax not your diligence until the door be open. For if you approach with this mind and say, except I receive, I depart not, you will surely receive, provided thou ask such things as are both suitable for him of whom you ask to give, and expedient for you, the petitioner. But what are these? To seek the things spiritual, all of them, to forgive them that have trespassed, and so to draw near asking forgiveness, to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. If we thus ask, we shall receive. As it is, surely our asking is a mockery and the act of a drunken rather than of sober men. What then, says one, if I ask even spiritual things and do not receive? You did not surely knock with earnestness, or you made yourself unworthy to receive, or quickly left off. And wherefore, it may be required, did he not say that what things we ought to ask? I think I said required. It's inquired. So, and wherefore, it may be inquired, did he not say what things we ought to ask? Nay, verily, he has mentioned them all in what precedes, and has signified for what things we ought to draw near. Say not, then, I drew near and did not receive. For in no case is it owing to God that we receive not. God, who loves us so much as to surpass even fathers, to surpass them as far as goodness, does this evil nature. Here ends the reading. I know. You can summarize this. Let's see. Have you asked rightly? Are you asking for the right things? Which reminds me, of course, of James. You receive not because you ask not, and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. So this is reiteration of that same process. Be consistent in your asking, but know that, but seek to ask for good things, ask for spiritual things, things that are good for the soul, will eventually be good for the body. I think we like to think that if we assuage or take care of the problems of the body, the spiritual problems will seem less difficult. And the reverse is actually true, that the spiritual outworking of our being is what improves our body. Now, this may not fix all diseases, but it does make us more content in life to have resolved or worked on those spiritual things within our body that war against us, to strive too much, meaning to sort of angrily work against the world, to be wrathful, to be vengeful, or to always seek your own interest, to be narcissistic, resolving, working on, praying for help with those things will make the other parts of your life better by extension. Those are the good gifts, right? Ask for those things above and these other things will be given to you. Seeking for things above is to ask for things that are good for our soul, that are good for our spirit, to make us more like Christ. These are the good gifts of our Father. Let's go back up to that question and answer, make sure I haven't wandered too far afield as I get reading through Chrysostom. What does God give you daily bread? God gives me my daily bread because he is a good and loving Father. So again, the repetition of the idea of God is always for us, who gives good things to all his children. Right? And so there's the assumption there that we are his children, that sustain us in life, and life abundant, the interior life, I think, even more importantly than the physical life, because that's ebbing away, that will go away. This body will surely die. There is a 100% chance. We get a new body, but the spirit is what continues on. But we are incarnated creatures, and we are learning to live within these frames, even as these frames are slowly fading and passing away. There's something inside of us, the interior life of the Christian is to grow daily in his grace, to be strengthened in the grace of God, in that loving kindness of the Father, that we would then emulate that loving kindness to others, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to a hurting and fallen world that desperately needs the good love of a loving Father, who perceive that love as condemnation, who perceive that love as telling them they can't do what they want to do. And what we're saying is we're like the parent catching the child and trying to stick their fork in a electrical outlet, and the child gets mad because you won't let them do that. Why? Because you know that it'll hurt them badly. Even people have things they want to do in their lives, but it's bad for them in many ways, depending on the sin, right? Okay. Well, I think that wraps up that whole section on daily bread. I don't think I've had it. It's been it's easy to get caught up, I guess, for myself in some ways, in the discussion of Eucharist versus the idea of daily bread. So yes, the Eucharist is important, and yet daily I must live my life. And the daily bread is that grace of God given to each of us. Is communion good and right and good thing to do? Yes, absolutely. But we could maybe get too focused on it as we fall into discussions of what exactly is going on in communion. And I think God would say, you're missing the point. I'm giving a gift to you. Take the gift. How it's actually received to us, let's just leave it with God to know exactly what he's doing with that. He knows what he's doing. And let us grow daily in grace. Let us pick up the word, which is also another habit of, I mean, it's part of the Anglican, is patrimony the right word? The tradition of daily prayer, of the prayer book, and the way that it will shape us with its lectionary, having us read from the Psalms and Old Testament and New Testament reading. And it daily puts us into contact with the Word, which sustains us, which gives us life, which grows us in grace. Right now, I'm using the 1928 prayer book, and the lectionary Old Testament reading is Proverbs. And there's the older I get, there's times when you hit a certain problem, you're like, I think I understand that now. Silly me, I didn't get that. But you grow in wisdom, and you learn how to accept the fact that you don't really know everything. We like to think that maybe we know more than we do, but we really don't know all that much. And the older I get, I think that becomes more and more plain to me that there is so much to know. There is so much to know. You know, it's like an observation on Eastern Orthodox theology, apophatic, which is this idea of God is an infinite being, so what we know of him is very finite, which means there's still an infinite amount of information we don't know about God, and coming to grips with the fact that we don't know a lot about God, but we know what has been revealed to us, and that's sufficient. And that's sufficient. Let us trust our Father, who gives good things to all his children. Thank you for listening. Feedback is amateuranglican@gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. The website, there's a link in the show notes to buy me a cup of coffee if you'd like to donate to the cause here. Let's see, what are the little things I say? I think that's one of the things I always say is one of the things I'm supposed to say. So, that's it. All right, so let's finish with a prayer. I'm going to use the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all you whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory through all ages. Amen.